How would you like to attend a conference and hear Matt Harrison, Craig Parton, Jonathan Fisk, Will Wheaton, Chris Roseborough, and Al Schmidt? You're invited to the 2014 Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference, June 13th and 14th in Collinsville, Illinois. Registration is $100 per person. For more information, visit issuesetc.org. The Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference, June 13th and 14th in Collinsville, Illinois. issuesetc.org. I don't know if this is, strictly speaking, scientific language. Of course, it's probably, it may not be the scientist, it may just be the journalist who reporting. The headline reads, "Scientists create first living organism containing artificial DNA." So there are two concerns there. First of all, the word create, is that a scientifically accurate term? But the other one that probably raised the red flag for you is artificial DNA. What is that? What are these experiments? What bearing do they have upon, well, for instance, medical ethics? Joining us to talk about experiments with artificial DNA, Dr. David Prentice. He's Senior Fellow for Life Sciences for the Family Research Council based in Washington, D.C. Spent more than 20 years teaching life sciences at Indiana State University. Dr. Prentice, welcome back to Issues Etc.
Good to be back with you.
I don't want to quibble with the journalist, but is it accurate to say that scientists have created anything here? Is that a scientific way of describing these experiments with artificial DNA?
Well, I'm sure some of the scientists would like to think of it that way, but they've engineered, they have constructed, they haven't built anything from scratch. You might be, in fact, familiar, your listeners, with the old joke about the scientist who claimed he'd created life and challenged God to a contest, and the first thing he did when he bent down to get some dirt was God said, "Get your own dirt." He didn't make anything out of scratch. They started with some basic building blocks, and the part of the headline that is correct, that they had substituted some of the normal letters of code in DNA with some very different, very strange letters. And it took a great deal to get to that point. Let's back up just a second, Todd, and go through some basic genetics here. Our genetic code, our DNA, has four letters, the alphabet that our cells, every cell, in fact, of life on the earth uses these four letters of the alphabet, and they pair. So out of those four, there are two pairs. And everything that the cell constructs, everything that it makes, all the proteins are reading that code of just four letters in words that are three letters long. Well, what these guys did was they came up with a couple of different letters that they could get to make those pairs. And that's an important part because, you know, everybody's aware of this term, the double helix. Your DNA makes this helix where there are pairs across from each other matched up. And just getting to the point where they could find a couple of strange letters, we'll call them, that could actually pair together stably and not just fall apart willy-nilly, took them years and years and years. And then the question was, well, we can maybe put these into a normal DNA strand and kind of fudge and put a different letter into the code, but would a normal cell even be able to copy that code so it could make other DNA and other cells? Would it be able to read it? Would it, pass it on to a new generation, so to speak? And again, it took them a number of years and some other engineering of the normal DNA and in a bacteria. This is just a tiny little cell, a bacterial cell, to be able to first get those strange letters inside the cell so that the cell could even use them, and then get the cell to copy a normal DNA strand that had one strange pair in it. So, I mean, on one hand, we should say, yeah, this is actually kind of an interesting scientific breakthrough that they were able to construct this and finally get a normal cell to look at those strange pairs and put them in. Is it something that I've seen several headlines where all of a sudden we're going to have new treatments and alien DNA and alien cells? I mean, we're nowhere near that. What they did was they were able to tweak the normal designed system with a couple of different letters into the alphabet. And, yeah, maybe somewhere down the road you could use that to mark DNA and be able to make some medications inside some of these strange cells. But you're working within the normal system. You're working with normal DNA in which you've just added a couple of new letters to the alphabet. And then you have to figure out ways to actually use those new letters to make a new word that the cell will actually be able to do anything with.
So while significant, not earth-shaking, what's the goal, as far as you can tell?
I think eventually the functional goal, the attainable goal for these folks is to tweak the normal alphabet in a cell to be able to maybe make some medications within these cells that could be customized so that they would maybe make something that's more powerful as a drug or as an enzyme that would chew on other sorts of things within the cell, or to make a new type of antibiotic that would be more powerful. I will tell you, though, there are some of these folks, and there's a whole field that's growing, Todd, called synthetic biology. Now, it's not synthetic. It's not made up again. They are taking the normal system and tweaking it and trying to recombine it and so on. But there are some of the folks within the field of synthetic biology who essentially want to play God. They want to create a totally artificial cell of their own design. And just a couple, 3 years ago, they were able to synthesize the DNA outside of the cell for an entire organism. Again, a very, very small cell, a bacterium. But to sort of put the genes in a new order, enough of the genes that the cell could grow for a short period of time. And of course, in their hubris, they actually created in the code, they signed the code with their name and put some other things in it. They want to play God. So, you know, there's a good and bad side to this. The good being there might be some ways to come up with better medications or something that could be very useful under very controlled conditions. But there's also this idea that, hey, I am creating out of nothing. And that's not true, but some of the people think that way.
Then with only about 20 seconds here, these things move so slowly. Do you expect them to reach their goal? Only about 20 seconds, Dr. Prentice.
I really don't expect them to reach their goal anytime soon. It took them 6 years just to get one pair of letters changed inside the cell. It will be many, many years before we actually get to a usable product from this technology.
Dr. David Prentice is Senior Fellow for Life Sciences for the Family Research Council based in Washington, D.C. He spent 20 years teaching life sciences at Indiana State University. We will post a link to the Family Research Council under the Listen On Demand page at issuesetc.org. David, thank you very much for your time.
Thank you.
Tomorrow on Issues Etc., we're going to talk about Christ in the Old Testament, as we do every week with Pastor Brian Ketchelmeyer. We'll discuss Isaiah 40 and 1 Peter 1. That's tomorrow on Issues Etc. Oh, and it is Friday tomorrow, so we're going to play Issues Etc. soundbite of the week tomorrow on the program. The word he used there probably best describes what might be going on here. Beyond just curiosity, discovery, or the ability to do it because we can, hubris. That's just a fancy word for pride. Well, we see it in the headlines, scientists create. Scientists create nothing. Scientists can tinker, they can re-engineer, they can take something apart and put it back together, but they cannot create. And in a culture where science is increasingly trying to at least popularly present itself as a good substitute for God, we should keep science honest, especially when it comes to words like create and hubris. I'm Todd Wilkin. I'll talk with you tomorrow. Thanks for listening to Issues, Etc.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues, Etc. Issues, Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Lutheran Public Radio, P.O. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.
Folks attending last year's Making the Case Conference absolutely loved the barbecue from Randy's House of Barbecue in Troy and Highland, Illinois. The pork, chicken, ribs, and beef are prepared just like the old days in a pit cooked over hickory, apple, and wild cherry wood. Randy's House of Barbecue, Route 40 and Troy O'Fallon Road in Troy, and at 2649 Northtown Way in Highland. Randy's House of Barbecue, randysbbq.com.
Misquoted Bible passages, Christian hymnody, confessional Lutheranism, Christianity and culture. You can meet and hear Issues Etc. regular guests discussing these topics at the Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference, June 13th and 14th in Collinsville, Illinois. Find out more at issuesetc.org. Registration is $100 per person. The Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference, June 13th and 14th in Collinsville, Illinois. issuesetc.org.